Hello, today we are going to explore a very important idea, how we can create a government that is strong enough to help people but not so strong that it can harm them. This balance is at the heart of two connected concepts, the rule of law and constitutionalism. Imagine you are playing a game with your friends. For the game to be fair and fun, everyone needs to agree on the rules beforehand. The rules must apply to everyone equally. No single player can change the rules in the middle of the game to help themselves win. And if there is a disagreement, you need a fair person, like a referee, to make a decision based on the rules. Now, think of a whole country as a very big, very important game. The citizens are the players, and the government is like a very powerful player. The idea that everyone, including the government, must follow the rules is called the rule of law. The rulebook itself, the one that sets up the government and its limits, is called a constitution. The commitment to following this rulebook is called constitutionalism. Let's start with a foundation, the rule of law. This idea is ancient, with roots in the thinking of philosophers like Aristotle in ancient Greece. He argued it is better to be governed by law than by any one person. The core idea is that the law itself is supreme, or the highest authority. No person, whether a king, a president, or a regular citizen, is above the law. A famous British scholar named A.V. Dicey explained this concept with three key points. First, he said that no one can be punished unless they have clearly broken a law. This means a government official cannot arrest you or take your property just because they feel like it or because they have a personal dislike for you. Your punishment must come only after a court has found that you broke a specific law that was already established. This protects people from the random and unpredictable use of power. Second, Dicey spoke of equality before the law. This means the same laws apply to everyone in the same way. A government minister who drives too fast should get the same speeding ticket as a taxi driver. There should not be special courts or special rules for the powerful or the wealthy. Everyone is subject to the same legal system. This ensures fairness and prevents a system where some people are treated as if they are more important than others. His third point was a bit more specific to countries like England. He said that the basic rights of people, like the right to personal freedom or the right to meet in public, often come from the regular decisions of courts in everyday cases. Instead of a big document granting these rights from the top down, the rights were built up over centuries, case by case. From the bottom up. Today, we understand the rule of law to include a few more ideas. For the rule of law to work, the laws must be clear, public, and stable. People need to know what the law is to be able to follow it. There must also be access to justice. This means people must have a way to go to independent courts to solve their disagreements or to challenge the government if they believe it has acted illegally. And finally, many believe the rule of law must also protect fundamental human rights, like the freedom of speech and religion. If the rule of law is the solid ground of fairness, then constitutionalism is the blueprint for the government built on that ground. Many countries have a constitution, which is a single, important document that lays out the rules for government. But just having a constitution on paper is not enough. Some countries with powerful rulers have beautiful constitutions that are completely ignored. Constitutionalism is the real, active practice of limiting the government's power according to that rulebook. It is a commitment to a government of laws, not of people. One of the most important ways constitutionalism limits government is through the separation of powers. This idea was explained by a French thinker named Montesquieu. He suggested that government power should be divided into three separate branches, or jobs. The first branch is the legislative branch, which makes the laws. Think of a country's parliament or congress. The second is the executive branch, which enforces or carries out the laws. This is usually the president or prime minister and their government departments. The third is the judicial branch, which interprets the laws. These are the courts and judges. The purpose of separating these powers is to prevent any one person or group from having all the power. If the same group that makes the laws also enforces them and judges who breaks them, they could easily become tyrants. By dividing power, each branch can watch the others. This leads to another key idea. checks and balances. This is a system where each branch of government has tools to limit the power of the other branches. For example, in the United States, the Congress legislative branch can pass a law, but the president executive branch can veto that law, which means to reject it. However, if enough members of Congress vote again, they can override the president's veto. This is a check. Furthermore, the court's judicial branch can look at the law and decide if it follows the rules of the Constitution. If it does not, they can declare it unconstitutional, and the law is canceled. This power of the courts is called judicial review. Judicial review is a powerful tool for constitutionalism. It was famously established in the United States in an 1803 court case called Marbury v. Madison. In that case, the Supreme Court gave itself the power to strike down laws that it believed violated the Constitution. It's like having a referee who can blow the whistle and stop play if a player, even the government, breaks the fundamental rules of the game. Constitutions also limit government by directly protecting the rights and freedoms of citizens. Many constitutions have a special section, often called a Bill of Rights, that lists things the government is not allowed to do. For example, it might say the government cannot stop people from speaking freely, practicing their religion, or gathering peacefully. These rights act as a fence, creating a private space for individuals and groups that the government cannot enter. To make sure these limits are strong, many constitutions are entrenched. This means they are made very difficult to change. Changing an ordinary law might only require a simple majority vote in the legislature, but changing the Constitution might require a much larger majority, like 2/3 or 3/4 of the votes, or even a special vote by the entire country. This protects the basic rules and rights from being easily changed by whatever political party is popular at the moment. Another way to limit power is through federalism. In a federal system, power is not just divided at the top between three branches. It is also divided geographically between a central, national government and smaller, regional governments, like states or provinces. The central government has certain powers, and the regional governments have others. This distribution of power creates another check on authority, preventing all power from being collected in one place. These formal structures are supported by informal ones. A free press and an active civil society, which includes citizen groups and organizations, are vital. Journalists and activists act like watchdogs. They investigate what the government is doing, expose corruption or abuse of power, and inform the public. This public pressure is a powerful, unofficial check on government authority. Of course, these ideas are not without problems or debates. In times of national emergency, like a war, a terrorist attack, or a pandemic, governments often argue they need more power to act quickly and protect people. This creates a difficult tension. How much freedom should citizens give up in exchange for safety? And how do we ensure the government gives that freedom back when the emergency is over? There is also a debate about the role of judges. Some people worry about judicial activism, where they feel that unelected judges are going too far and creating new laws with their decisions instead of just interpreting the Constitution. Others argue that judges must be active to protect the Constitution from powerful leaders and legislatures who might ignore it. This debate asks a fundamental question. In a democracy, who should have the final say, the elected representatives of the people or the unelected judges in charge of the Constitution? In recent years, some political leaders have challenged the very idea of constitutional limits. They claim to speak for the true people against a corrupt elite and may attack independent institutions like the courts or the free press because they see them as obstacles to their power. This shows that constitutionalism is not just a set of rules on paper. It requires a culture of respect for limits, fairness, and the law. The world is also changing. New technologies create new challenges. How do we apply ideas about privacy that were written centuries ago to a world of the internet and government surveillance cameras? How do we balance freedom of speech with the spread of dangerous misinformation online? These are questions that every society must struggle with. In summary, the rule of law is the foundational belief that everyone, including the government, must follow the law. It requires laws to be clear, fair, and equally enforced. Constitutionalism is the system built on this foundation. It uses tools like a written constitution, the separation of powers, checks and balances, and the protection of rights to create a government that is limited and accountable. These ideas are not a perfect guarantee of freedom and justice, but they are a powerful and enduring framework for trying to achieve them. They represent a constant effort to ensure that those who hold power serve the people, not the other way around.